Find Hebrews chapter 10. We believe in the abundant life. Would you say amen to that? We strongly believe in John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I've come that they might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And don't you love that verse? You know, it would have been awesome if Jesus would have just said, "I've come that you might have life," and just ended right there. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be awesome if Jesus just said, "Well, I've come that you would have life." But he didn't stop there. He said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I'm glad he did, aren't you? So he came to purchase for us and provide for us an abundant life. And we believe in that here at Life Unlimited Church. Amen. We believe in the abundant life, that it's available for everyone. Amen. And I think you understand here in this church that what God offers us by grace must be received by faith, right? What he offers by grace must be received by faith. So we're faith people serving a faith God. Amen. And I want to talk to you about our faith walk today. And the title of my sermon is Winning the Fight of Faith. And we're going to take the whole sermon here from Hebrews chapter 10. I have a couple of references to go with that. But let me go ahead and read these verses. And then I want to pray over the word. And I tell you what, let me go ahead and just pray right now, and then I'll read. Father, we love you, and we're thankful for the opportunity this morning to be together here in your name, and we're thankful for your faithfulness to us and your presence here with us, and we welcome you today. And now as we open our Bibles, Father, we're asking you to teach us from your word. We're asking you, Father, to give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that a deposit would be made in our lives today from your word. Thank you that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we believe that the entrance of your word gives light and that faith comes by hearing. And so today, Father, I pray that a seed will be planted in the lives of your people to bring forth fruit in their lives, to bring forth a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. This morning, Father, once again, we want to pray over our nation and our leaders. We pray for our leaders this morning. We lift them up to you and ask you to strengthen them, to help them, to lead them by your Spirit. For those who are not born again, we pray, Father, that they would love you and desire you and be born again. We pray for our nation, pray that our nation would turn to you. Father, we pray that the people of our nation would love God and honor your word and desire righteousness. We pray for revival and renewal to come. Thank you, Father. We are thankful for freedom in our nation. We're thankful for the freedom to come together like this, to sing our songs, and to worship you, praise God, and to preach your word. And today, we thank you for that, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to begin to read in verse 32. You follow along with me. I read from the New King James Version, and if yours reads a little differently, it's because you're using a different translation. But you should be able to follow along with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." All right, well, let's talk about winning this fight of faith. Notice here that the author of the Hebrews is addressing some people who are experiencing trials and tests and challenges in their lives. And, you know, it's important to say, one of the things that the critics say about faith people like me or faith people like us or faith churches like this one, one of the things the critics say is that they'll say, "Well, you faith people, you just say that if you'll trust God, all your problems will go away."
That's one of the criticisms they make of us. They if you just live by faith, you think that if you just live by faith, you won't have any more problems. No, that's not what we believe. That's not what we believe. What we do believe is we can overcome every one of them in Jesus' name. Amen. That you can come through the test, the trial, the temptation, the challenge, without even the smell of smoke. Amen. We do preach that. We do believe that faith is the victory. Amen. And so we strongly believe that we can have victory in our lives, and that Jesus came to give us an abundant life and make us victorious. Amen. Well, here the author of Hebrews is talking about this to the Hebrews. And so what I want to do is just take some things he said here to help you, especially some of you here in the room tonight who are experiencing some challenges or tests or problems. Anybody in here ever experienced challenges, tests, or problems? Maybe some of you are going through something right now. So I've got some things I want to share with you today that I believe is going to help you. Going to help you to win the fight of faith. Amen. And understand God wants you to win. I think we all understand that here. Amen. I heard about a pilot who came over the intercom as they were already up in the air, had been flying for some time. He came on the intercom and he said, can I have your attention, please? Thank you for flying with us today. I have an announcement to make to you this afternoon. I have got some bad news, and I have some good news. The bad news is I'm lost, and I don't know where I'm going. The good news is we're getting there real fast. You know, there are a lot of Christians like that. No direction. Huh? No victory. No sense of hope. Not knowing where to go or what to do. No genuine trust in God and His Word, and therefore experiencing little victory in their lives. I've noticed that there are Christians who rarely or sporadically apply spiritual truth to their lives. That's not the way to win. That's not the way to win. If you want to win, you have to apply truth to your life regularly. Amen. On a regular basis. Every one of us will make mistakes. Every one of us will stumble. Every one of us will miss it from time to time. But we need to be the kind of people who regularly are applying spiritual truth in our lives, and it brings stability. People who don't do that are lacking stability in their lives. And there are people who think that another thing I might mention to you is that there are people who think that they have to defeat the devil or fight with the devil. Need to understand, you don't need to defeat the devil. He's already been defeated. Amen. You don't need to fight the devil or wrestle with the devil. No, and especially you can. I'm not going to take the time to do this, but let me just mention this since it's coming to my mind right now. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the whole armor of God, the emphasis is on standing, not wrestling. Amen. Standing in your armor, not wrestling with the devil. So you don't have to fight the devil. You don't have to defeat him. What you do need to do is realize that he's already been defeated. Amen. That was Jesus' purpose, was to destroy the works of the devil, to defeat the devil. So what's your job? Your job then is to resist the devil and enforce the victory. You don't have to defeat the devil and win the victory. You just need to enforce the victory. Amen. You understand something. You're not the defeated headed toward a victory. No, the victory's already been won. So you're already victorious. You just have to enforce the victory. Amen. Amen. That's an important thing. And if you start off another way, you're already starting off with a position of unbelief. If you start off with the idea that I got to whip the devil, I got to beat up the devil, I got to fight the devil, well, you're starting off from a position of unbelief. You need to always start with the position that I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. Amen. And then enforce the victory. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God and then resist the devil and he flees from who? He flees from you. Amen. So if you're praying and asking God to do something about the devil, stop it. Stop that. God's not going to do any more about the devil. He's already done something about the devil. He's already defeated him. Amen. And so now it's our responsibility to submit to God and resist the devil, and he flees from us. He flees from you. The word flee means to run from as in terror. Have the understanding that when you resist the devil, in the name of Jesus, he's going to run from you as scared to death, as in terror. Amen. He flees from you. Amen. First Peter mentioned it in his writings in 1 Peter 5.
8 and 9, he said, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him how? Resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him in the faith. Amen. Understand that exercising your faith is resisting the devil. That might not even be the reason you're exercising your faith. But understand that when you're exercising your faith, you're resisting the devil. Amen. You're resisting him. Amen. And that ought to be common to us. So what you say in faith, when you say what God says in faith, you're fighting against the devil, and you're fighting the good fight of faith. You're resisting the devil, I should say, and fighting the good fight of faith. Now, Paul did tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. To fight the good fight of faith. So if there is a fight to our faith walk, there are some things that we need to know. If there is a fight to our faith walk, first let's understand that we don't have to fight against the devil. We just enforce the victory. But in this fight of our faith, let's understand some things. Who is the enemy? If you're going to win a fight, you got to know who the enemy is. Amen. And let's know, how do we fight? And something else we need to know is, how do we win? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to get in a fight, I want to know if I can win, right? We need to know how to win. So this morning, what I want to do is give you some truths from this passage that will help you win your fight of faith. And for some of you who are experiencing challenges today, I really hope that you'll listen and hear. I've asked God to help me to encourage you this morning. And to strengthen you this morning as you hear these things. So the first truth I want to give you to help you to win your fight of faith is found in verse 35. Verse 35 says, do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your confidence. So if you're writing notes, taking notes, write down number one, confidence. The first truth you need to win in this passage, to win your fight of faith, is you need confidence in your life. Amen. I heard about an experiment that they did. They took a group of kids. I don't know how many kids there were, 100 or something, but they divided these kids into three different classes. Now, these were all just average, normal kids. There was nothing special about these kids. They were not exceptionally bright. They were not exceptionally slow. They were just normal, average kids. And they divided these kids into three groups, and then they took three teachers. And they took the first teacher and they assigned her to this first group. And they said, now, they took her aside and they said to her, we want you to teach this class, but understand that these kids are slow. These kids are a little below average, so don't expect a whole lot from them. Don't be surprised if they don't excel academically. Don't be surprised if they don't produce the finest work that you've experienced before. And so she said, okay. Then they took the next teacher and they assigned her to the middle group. And they said to her, now, these kids here are just average kids. Nothing especially slow, nothing especially bright, just normal kids. So you can expect just normal work, normal accomplishments from these kids. She said, okay. And so the third teacher then, they assigned to the third group. They took her aside and they said, now, this group of kids, these kids are smart here. These are some good kids, and you've really got a great class, and you can expect some really outstanding things from this group of kids. She said, great. Well, I'm excited about that. And so they began the project, began the experiment. And I don't know how long the experiment went, but when they came to the end of the experiment, then they began to evaluate the work that the kids had accomplished during the experiment. And you know what they found? What they found was pretty amazing. When they evaluated the work that the kids in the first group had accomplished, you know what they found? They found that they were producing below average. They were producing below average. No, they weren't below average. They were just average students, but they were treated differently. They came to the middle group, and you know what they found? They found that this group just performed average, just like any other kids their age or their abilities. But when they came to the third group, they found a group of students that excelled academically. They found a group of students that were really moving and excelling above and beyond the expectations. You know why? Because the teacher approached it differently. Because the teacher had a different mindset. It's not that the third teacher loved her kids more than the first or the second teacher, but she had a different mindset with those kids.
And she approached that thing differently. And as she did, because she responded differently, the kids responded differently. Now let's understand something about our group. God is interested in you. God believes in you. God doesn't think you're deficient. God doesn't think you're below average. And he doesn't think you're slow. God thinks you're a winner. Amen. God thinks you're excellent, and God thinks you're worth the price that Jesus paid. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's what God thinks about you, and that's what we need to understand. We need to believe that we're an advanced group. Amen. Amen. And he believes in us, and you can have confidence when you know who you are in Christ. It'll help you to be bold. It'll help you to overcome. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that ought to be a normal thing for us to confess. It should be common practice in every challenge. For some of you who are facing difficulties, for some of you who are facing challenges, it should be common practice for us when we're facing a difficulty to confess things like that. I can do all things through Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen. That should be common practice for us, not just when you're in the problem, but you know what? Even if you're not having a problem, that should be normal Christianity for us, to believe that way about ourselves, to say those things about ourselves. Amen. Do you believe that? Let me hear you say, I will not be defeated. Come on, say it like you mean it. I will not be defeated. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. That ought to be our confession. Let me help you understand. Your confession is what you say all the time. Your confession is not what you say just once in a while. Your confession is what you're saying all the time. What do you constantly say about yourself? What are you all the time saying about your health? What do you constantly say about your marriage? What do you constantly say about your finances? What do you constantly say about your church? That's your confession. What you're saying all of the time is your confession. Amen. Amen. And so that should be something that we're saying all the time, something that we're believing in our heart deeply, to where that it affects our confession. That's what faith is. Faith is believing and speaking. Faith has two parts, believing in the heart and speaking with your mouth. Amen. Amen. It ought to be normal practice for us. Well, notice verse 35 again. Let me point out something else from this. Verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast away your confidence, and understand that it has great reward. This is telling us that there's a reward for those who will be bold. There's a reward for those who will resist. There's a reward for those who will stand in faith. Amen. There's a reward. If I could, let me just encourage you with something else that Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1:12, we won't turn there, I'll just quote this for you. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Paul was persuaded. He knew something about his God. He knew what God was capable of. He knew that God was faithful, and he knew that it was safe and okay to commit that which was valuable and important to him, to commit that to God. Amen. Amen. And you can do that. Be persuaded like Paul was. You can be confident in your God. Amen. I said you can be confident in your God, and you can have confidence in your faith to stand in the day of adversity, to stand through the problem. All right, well, let me give you the second truth that you can apply to winning this fight of faith, and it's found in verse 36. Verse 36 says, you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of endurance. Write down number two, endurance. The second truth to help you in winning the fight of faith is endurance. The word endurance comes from the Greek word hupomone. Hupomone, and it means something a little different than what we normally think about when we think about the word endurance. Hupomone meant to actively resist weariness and defeat. To actively resist weariness and defeat. I'm going to turn the page over to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verse 1 to you.
Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here in this verse, the writer of Hebrews is likening this faith walk to an endurance race, to a long distance race. Now, I don't know if we have any runners in here. Pastor Matthew's already left. I know he's a runner. But if any of you have ever run a long distance race, you understand something about endurance. Amen. The Christian walk, the Christian life, this walk of faith isn't a sprint. Amen. This is a life of endurance. This is a race of endurance. Now, I'm not a big runner. I used to run more than I do now, particularly when I was in the Air Force many years ago. I used to run. I can remember a time when I was in the Air Force stationed at Clark Air Base, Republic of the Philippines. And I was assigned to the 1961st Communications Group at Clark Air Base, Republic of the Philippines. And one time while I was there, they decided that they were going to do a 50-mile relay. And the different squadrons on the base and groups on the base would come together and put together teams and would compete in this 50-mile relay. And so they just let us sign up. Anybody wants to sign up to run a leg of the 50-mile relay? One leg of the 50-mile relay was a one-mile leg, and it was going to take place on the parade ground on base. Now, the parade ground was a big old grass field where they would assemble, you know, for parades and functions, and it had a track going all the way around it that was 1 mile in length. And so I signed up for the 50-mile relay, and they assigned me a certain position and estimated about the time I would be running, and so the race was going to go on all day or most of the day or something like that. And so I was supposed to be there at a certain time to be ready for my leg. So I arrived, it was the middle of the morning sometime. And I arrived and I watched a little bit. And then pretty soon, it came my time for the leg, for my mile relay. And so I got up there, I got all stretched, and I'm ready to go. And we weren't in the lead. Our group wasn't in the lead, but we weren't last either. We were just somewhere in between. And my concern was, I didn't want to get in there and just blow the whole thing and turn up last when I'm done. So my thing was, just don't lose any ground, man. That was my thing. And so the deal was, we would start, it was a big oval, and we would start on this side of the field and start running. It was a little bit of an incline, just a gradual slope going up, and then you would turn, and then you would come back the other side, which was a downward incline the whole way, until you rounded the curve on this side, and then you had that half of that stretch where you're back on an incline now. Tough, boy, tough. So the last, you know, whatever, quarter of a mile or less than that probably is going to be just a little bit uphill. You're already tired and wore out. So here come my guy. He passed me the baton, and I just take off running. I used to exercise every day. I would be out there. I would run that track. So I pretty much knew how to run the track. I could make it. And I knew it, but now I'm in a race. And so I take off and I'm on this little uphill incline, you know, and then pretty soon I start hearing somebody behind me. I start hearing this. And I'm going, "Oh, you catching me?" And I thought, "No, I just gotta run my race. Just run my race." And I hear this. And he's coming up behind me, and I'm just running my race. I'm wanting to turn around and look. No, I'm just going to keep on just running my race. And pretty soon I come around the corner, and I'm here. Well, what he had done is he wore himself out catching up to me on that little uphill incline. And I rounded the corner, and I hit, and now I'm on my little downhill thing, and I'm just striding, and I'm not any longer hearing this. I was leaving him. He wore himself out. And I was leaving him and going away. And I rounded the corner, and now I have to make my way back up this incline. Boy, I've been running hard, running faster than I normally would just when I'm out there jogging, because now I'm under the gun, right? I'm under pressure. I'm in my race. But something you have to understand in an endurance race is you have to pace yourself. Amen?
You have to pace yourself in an endurance race. Amen. And as I mentioned, some sprinted too early, but they couldn't keep up the pace. They couldn't run the race. And what I want to say to you, in winning the fight of faith, it's much better for you to be steady. It's much better for you to be consistent. Amen. It's much better for you to just stay constant and don't get your eyes on everybody around you. I've seen people that just take off and just leave me like I'm standing still in my Christian walk. And I've seen some of those same people that have stopped and broke down, and I'm passing them up later on. In winning this fight of faith, the thing you need is endurance. Be constant and be steady. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, let me read verse 2 and 3. It goes on here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider him who endured hostility, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Notice how Jesus endured the cross. It says that who for the joy that was set before him. Who for the joy that was set before him. The way he was enabled to endure the cross and endure the shame, endure the pain, endure all that he did was because there was a prize before his eyes. You are the prize. Amen. There's a truth here that will help us. How do you keep your endurance? How do you stay steady? You keep your eyes on the prize. You keep looking unto Jesus. You keep looking unto victory. Amen. You keep anticipating that victory is ahead of you and not defeat. Amen. Come on, I should have got a better amen right there. You keep anticipating that victory is ahead of you and not defeat ahead of you. Amen. Amen. And that'll help you. That'll help you to run your race. And so let's remember something about endurance. Let's remember that real Bible endurance is not just holding on to the end. It's not just white knuckling it, just holding on and praying for the end to come, praying for the rapture so that Jesus can get us out of here, rescue us from this Jesus. that's not Bible endurance. Bible endurance is active, energetic resistance to defeat. Amen. It's not giving up in the middle of the race. It's not giving up in the middle of the challenge. It's not giving up in the midst of a test. It's active, energetic resistance to defeat. Amen. Amen. You have need of endurance. All right, well, that brings me to my third truth that I want to share with you this morning about winning your fight of faith. We find it in verses 38 and 39. All right, I'm back in chapter 10 now. Chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are not of those who draw back, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Write down number 3, patience. The third truth you need in winning your fight of faith is patience. Or you could say patient perseverance. Now, we understand that God has called each one of us to a life of faith. We just read it here in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Amen. The just, our way of life, is a life of faith. The just live by faith. Steady and consistent endurance type race. Amen. The just live by faith. But in verse 39, it says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Let me read it to you from the Amplified. I like the way it's worded in the Amplified version. Verse 39 from the Amplified says, but our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery and are utterly destroyed, but we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ the Messiah, and by faith preserve the soul. Don't you like that?
That's the Amplified version. You know, there are many obstacles that we face in the Christian life, and winning the fight of faith requires that one never give up. Amen. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Amen. You can't please God if you're quitting all the time. That's what this is telling us. We are not of those who draw. Or verse 38 says, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You can't please God if you're quitting all the time. You're not going to win this fight of faith if you quit. You're not going to win your fight of faith if you're quitting all the time. Amen. So when you feel like quitting, don't quit. When you feel like quitting, understand that you can't quit. You can't quit. You got to keep on going. You got to keep on plotting. You got to keep on believing and moving forward. Amen. Someone says, well, preacher, how long do I have to fight? You fight till you win. You fight till you win. And you don't give up. And here's the truth. You can't lose for winning all the time. You can't lose for winning. Losing isn't an option. Not in the Christian life. Losing isn't an option. You can't lose for winning. The world says, well, I just can't win for losing. No, in this Christian life, our motto is, we can't lose for winning. Amen. Well, we might have a challenge, and we might have some difficulties, but we just keep on going. We're not anticipating defeat, but we are anticipating victory. Amen. 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 We are anticipating winning the fight. Amen. And the only way you lose is if you stop playing. So what do? We just keep playing. Play till you win. Amen. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember that? Yea, though I walk, what? Through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what some Christians want to do? Some Christians want to stop and buy a cotton-picking condo in the valley of the shadow of death. That's not us. Don't stop in the valley of the shadow of death and camp out there and live there. Just keep walking, amen. You just keep walking through the valley of the shadow of death and don't stop. Just keep playing till you win, amen. Man, I'm preaching better than you're amening. You just keep playing till you win. Amen. And don't stop. And if you get knocked down, get up. Amen. Walter Payton was one of the greatest running backs to ever play in the NFL. Everybody remember Walter Payton? Some of the young ones might not. Walter Payton played for the Chicago Bears. And one Monday night, on a Monday night football game, the Chicago Bears were playing the New York Giants. And one of the announcers was looking through Walter Payton's statistics and he noticed that Walter Payton had earned 9 miles in career rushing yardage over the length of his career. 9 miles. And the other announcer spoke up and said, yeah, that's with someone knocking him down every 4.6 yards. 9 miles. Listen, when you get knocked down, don't stay down. Just get up, amen. Just keep going, just keep believing. If you get knocked down again, just get up, amen, and keep going and keep believing and keep walking. If you get knocked down, just get up, amen, and keep going, keep believing and keep walking, amen. Yeah. Amen, and you play until you win. You just keep going and anticipating victory, not anticipating defeat, amen. Everyone gets knocked down. Everyone gets knocked down, but the key to success is that you get up. And that you keep going. Amen. Keep believing God right in the face of adversity. Stand on the word and believe that truth is greater than your circumstances. That the truth of God's word is greater than what you're facing. Greater than what you're going through. Amen. Let me give you another reference from Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. He said to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Amen. You have need of faith and patience. Now let me say something to you. Some of you who are going through problems, and some of you who have been through problems, or God forbid, some of us that will endure problems yet. Understand that your victory may not be coming as quickly as you would like. If we could all have it our way, then we wouldn't have any problems. And if we did, they'd be over in a couple of minutes. I mean, have you ever been in a problem And you start praying about that problem. And a week later, this thing's still going on. A month later, this thing's still going on. 5 months later, you're still enduring this thing. Huh? Your victory may not be coming as quickly as you would like, but Hebrews 6:12 says faith and patience work together to cause you to inherit the promises. Patience is an important key. Amen. Amen. Don't stop playing. You keep playing until you win. You can't lose for winning. Amen. That needs to be our attitude. All right. Well, I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to close with just showing you one more truth that I'd like to share with you today. And this is over in James. So I'm turning a few pages to the right to James chapter 1. These are familiar verses. You'll recognize them as soon as I begin to read here. James 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Notice something here about this. Notice that it says to count it all joy. In verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." You know, the only way to have joy in trials is to know that the testing of your faith produces patience. It says to count it all joy when you fall into various tests and trials. That doesn't mean that tests and trials are joyful. Only a fool would tell us that there's joy in tests and trials. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is when you are in a test or a trial, you count it all joy. You count it all joy in the midst of your test and trial because you know that it's going to produce patience, and patience will bring us through the test and trial, perfect and complete on the other side of the trial. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. When you're in the midst of the test, when you're in the midst of the trial, you just understand that it's going to produce patience in you, and that faith and patience is going to produce the victory on the other side of you. Knowledge enables you to dominate your emotions in the face of trials. Most of us want to cry. Most of us want to get mad. Huh? Most of the time when we're in a test or a trial or circumstances, most of us let our emotions get the best of us. But if we'll understand, if we'll gain this knowledge, it helps us to dominate our emotions in the face of tests and trials. So instead of letting fear dominate you, instead of letting discouragement and frustration, depression or anxiety dominate you and all of those things, let faith and patience dominate you. Amen. Let faith and patience rise in you and to help you inherit the promises and then come out on the other side of that test and trial, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen? Has this helped you today? Praise God. Let me get you to stand to your feet.